This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 4th of February. My name is Audrey Raj and joining me on this Friday show...
Frida Liu. In the house.
It's our favorite show of the week, right?
Always the favorite is. Day of the week.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about... The latest consumer trends, and it's that time of the year again, you know, where we take a look at PwC's latest consumer insight survey, and this one that we're going to be discussing is from their December 2021 global consumer insight survey. And the last time we looked at this survey, it reflected that the pandemic had spurred many respondents to become more digital, more local, and more conscious of health and safety. So what can we expect this time around? Just before we get started, you know, at any point in time, if you feel like you want to chime in and tell us what you think about anything that we're discussing today, the numbers to do that are
018-789-8899. That's WhatsApp. Tweet us at BFM Radio as well, you know, on your behavior, on your consumer behavior. So in this survey, PwC surveyed more than 9,000 people in 26 territories or countries to find out what had changed, with 76% of respondents reporting being partially vaccinated, consumers are planning to spend more, and they're seeing improvements in their lifestyles. Employers allow new ways of working. And of course, there are some things that haven't changed that much when it comes to shopping. Price and convenience still matter most, even as other factors such as sustainability are increasingly on consumers' minds. So let's take a look at some of the things that stood out. One of which is lifestyle desires are overtaking economic pressures in driving consumer behavior. So in the last 6 months, the following lifestyle metrics stood out, with 63% of Malaysian consumers saying they're healthy, 53% of Malaysian consumers saying they are local, with I am digital and I am eco-friendly both at 61%. Okay. In comparison, economic metrics were not as evident. 57% of Malaysian consumers saying they are price-oriented, and 67% saying they are focused on saving.
Right. So now shoppers are also far less loyal than before. Trust is a critical factor in driving purchases. You know, for example, consumers value reliability, and retailers that practice sustainability, you know, sustainable practices. So what we observed in terms of general shopping behavior in physical stores was 70% of Malaysian consumers are always or very frequently buying from a variety of retailers to meet their needs. And this is 70% Malaysian consumers versus about 54% of Asia Pacific consumers. So Malaysians are more frequently buying from different retailers. 59% of Malaysian consumers are always or very frequently buying from retailers with efficient delivery or collection. I'm part of that statistic. Right. And 49% of Malaysian consumers are always or very frequently buying from retailers supportive of societal and environmental causes.
That's nice. It's almost 50%, right? Yep. Now, as physical stores reopen, online shopping acceleration has changed pace across all categories in the last 6 months, so since March 2021 till the latest Pulse survey, which is until September. Fashion, clothing and footwear, more online for 37% of Malaysian consumers versus exclusively online for 19%. Consumer electronics, 26% more online versus 18% exclusively online. Health and beauty cosmetics, 36% more online versus 15% exclusively online. Grocery, which includes F&B, 27% more online versus 15% exclusively online. Sports and fitness equipment, 27% more online versus 13% exclusively online. And household appliances, 25% more online versus 10% exclusively online. So still kind of smallish in terms of the exclusively online sort.
Do you buy anything exclusively online, Frida? Like any looking at any of these categories.
Do I buy anything exclusively?
I mean, like during the pandemic, we had to do everything exclusively
groceries,
online, right? So it's still groceries?
Yeah.
Okay. So groceries is something that I've just moved to completely offline today, you know. But otherwise, I find like even things like electronics and stuff like even furniture, stuff that I used to do wholly offline, you know, I have to walk into a store and look, feel, try. I'm doing that stuff online today. But exclusively online, I find... No, I don't do anything exclusively online. Now that, you know, I feel, you know, we're vaccinated, we're boosted, and if I take proper precautions and visit the right stores, you know, I'm more comfortable still going back to physical stores.
Actually, with groceries, right, it's been the longest time, even before the pandemic, because it's just two of us, me and my son, right? Mm. So it's like, you know, we don't do a lot of grocery shopping, so it's mostly household stuff. And so that can be purchased online. I find going to supermarkets a waste of time, personally.
It's not your thing.
Not my thing, going to supermarkets. So.
All right, so when we come back, we'll be hearing from Rakesh Mani, Southeast Asia Consumer Markets Leader at Strategy End. Strategy End is the global strategy consulting team at PwC. And he's going to be sharing his observations from the survey and how retailers can make sense of changing trends, including frictionless retail, the growing importance of social impact, and of course, sustainability factors as well. All that coming up in just a bit. But, you know, I also have to ask you, Frida, and everyone out there as well, please feel free to chime in. Do you feel more optimistic now compared to the beginning of the pandemic when it comes to, you know, just going out and, you know, purchasing behavior, your own? Like, I find like I'm more confident to get out there and to go to a mall. If you've been to a mall recently, you will know that a lot of people are very confident about going to
malls.
And
that's the thing, right? I mean, we have to be very careful, sure, but I've already been vaccinated, right? I just feel like it's life, right? I'm not a mall person anyway, but when I do need to go for something, you see everybody there. I'm not absolutely terrified, but it's just not my thing.
For me, initially, it took a while to kind of get back into the practice of like, let's jump in the car and let's head out to a mall.
Yeah.
Because for me, I always keep thinking like, oh, your parking is going to be terrible, right?
Yes.
But it's really not been that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you know, you come from a household with a lot of people.
That I want to get out of the house.
Get out of the house. And then, no, I mean, what I'm saying is that you worry also because there's the old and the young, right?
Yes.
So it's just me and my son. So I'm not, there's the health thing isn't as a concern, but of course I have to be careful. I still don't want to be ill, but less of that worry because I don't have old people with me.
So
myself excluded.
We'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about your purchasing behavior today? Are you more optimistic about heading out to a mall, or are you doing stuff exclusively? Are you buying stuff exclusively online right now? We'd like to hear from you and how you feel. You know, we're in year three of this pandemic, right?
Let us know. Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
We'll have Rakesh Mani on the line with us in just a bit. But for now, taking us into that, we have Florence in the Machine with You've Got the Love. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
We're back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about your consumer behavior and your purchasing decisions.
Right.
We have on the line with us right now, Rakesh Mani. He's the Southeast Asia Consumer Markets Leader at Strategy End. Strategy End, of course, is the global strategy consulting team at PwC. And Rakesh is going to be sharing his observations from the survey that PwC released in December. It's their latest consumer insights survey. Global, it's called Global Consumer Insights Survey. Mm-hmm. Rakesh is on the line with us now to talk to us about how retailers can make sense of, you know, all the changing trends, including something called frictionless retail. Also, the growing importance of social impact and sustainability factors. Rakesh, thank you so much for waiting on the line. Now, did Malaysian consumers stand out in any way in this survey compared to their global counterparts? You know, was there anything that surprised you this time around, Rakesh?
Where Malaysian consumers have really stood out is for their sense of optimism with the economy. 68% of Malaysian consumers told us that they're optimistic about the future in Malaysia. That's significantly higher than the global average, just shy of 60%. And also, when compared to other countries in the region, Singapore, for example, only had about half of consumers who said they were optimistic. We think this optimism among Malaysian consumers reflects a really strong vaccine rollout program and the impact of easing restrictions. It seems the government and civil society have really worked together and done a pretty good job. They've each played their roles and they've managed multiple moving parts and priorities in a seamless way. What's really exciting at this point is with that greater sense of optimism in Malaysia also comes physical reemergence. And we see it as consumers telling us that they're more likely to travel, eat out, go to sports events, and propel the economy with greater consumer spending.
So what's changed, Rakesh, since the last report? What should we be aware of?
What's changed? Well, what's changed is a really interesting question. We've run this survey across countries since the start of the pandemic. And over the months that we've collected the data, we've seen a story of caution, shifting behaviors, and gradual reemergence into the economy. The shape of this sentiment has been somewhat uneven across countries, but what we've noticed is that it seems to be quite highly correlated with vaccination rates. 76% of our 9,000 plus respondents were partially vaxxed, and that number is significantly higher than last summer. So when we look at the data compared to last summer, what we see is consumers have reported wanting to spend more, and they're expecting more lifestyle improvements as well as employers allow new and flexible work models.
Right. But was there anything that stayed pretty much the same, Rakesh?
At the same time, a lot of things have stayed the same. For the last several cycles that we've ran the survey, we've noticed some very consistent themes. I'll call out a couple of them. The pandemic spurred our respondents to become much more digital. That's in how they shop, where they shop. Far more local in their choices because it's faster, it's more familiar, there's less delays. And thirdly, more conscious of their health and safety. Those themes have been largely consistent across markets and across several cycles of the survey. We run this every quarter. The degree may vary a little bit from quarter to quarter, but the trends seem to be firmly here. There's probably a few other things that are the same, but have become a lot sharper. When it comes to shopping, price and convenience still matter a lot. That was true before the pandemic. It's even more true today. Even while other topics like sustainability are playing in a bigger way on people's minds.
Right. You know, there seems to be a level of optimism within this report. So what do you think that might be attributed to? How does the hybrid working scheme pay into these results?
Well, where does a lot of the optimism come from? When we look at the data, the people who tend to be the most optimistic are young people, millennials, people living in cities, people who are able to have the flexibility to work in a hybrid way, and people who are fully vaxxed. Vaccination rates really are a pretty significant driver of optimism. And around the world, as those rates climb, it bodes well for consumer sentiment and for the economy. Globally, the data tells us that about 61% of people claim to be optimistic about the future. 18% say they're not optimistic. In Malaysia, our numbers are probably at the top end of that. About 68% say they're optimistic about the future. There's not a whole lot of places that are more optimistic than that. And it, in our mind, it's really a reflection of the strength of the vaccine rollout program and the discipline with which things like the MySejahtera app and SOPs have contributed to that feeling of security and gradual return to normalcy. What's interesting is we see this in Malaysia manifesting in anticipated spending patterns as well. So 38% of Malaysian consumers see themselves spending more on home entertainment in the next 6 months. 35% of them see themselves spending more on cosmetics, 30% in fashion. So it really does have an important ripple effect across the economy. The other factor that drives a lot of optimism is the ability to work flexibly. Globally, what the data tells us is people who are able to work at home are on average 10% more optimistic than people who don't have that flexibility.
Right.
And with hybrid models, that number is about 9% for people who have the option to work in a hybrid way versus those who have to be at their home or in an office. So what this means for businesses is that it's important to focus on the things that you have control over. Facilitating the health and well-being of your workforce not only helps you rewrite the social contract with your people, but also creates a ripple effect of activity and spending that yields business benefits.
Right. I have no data to back this up, but that 10% extra optimism, I'm telling you, is because you don't have to deal with traffic.
Right.
Rakesh, flipping through the report, I noticed that there's a huge uptick on smartphone shopping. Now, do you see this as a trend that's likely to continue? And what do you think the impact is of this, you know, on brick and mortar businesses?
Well, smartphone shopping is at a historic high today. Just to put things in perspective, a couple of years ago in 2019, 27% of our respondents in Malaysia said they use smartphones to make purchases daily or weekly. Today, that number is 51% in Malaysia. Globally, it's about 41%. It's far and away the most popular online shopping mode. And depending on which country you're talking about, there's anywhere from 10 to 25 percentage points separating that from PCs, tablets, wearables, and all the rest of it. And globally, the gap between smartphone shopping and in-store shopping is closing pretty rapidly. We expect that to continue gathering pace. Retailers can do a lot to drive customers either to brick and mortar or online. There's several factors linked with the proclivity to shop one way or another. For example, making purchases possible via your social media channels can drive much greater propensity to shop online. Or if you're committed to establishing and running a variety of physical outlets with the right cost structures that are conveniently located around your target consumers, that can help drive a lot of in-store frequency as well. But really, fundamentally, for companies to succeed in this kind of an environment, you've got to be brave in taking advantage of new technology. The idea is not to copy what others are doing, but to make the effort to invest in what your consumers are looking for. You have to understand them, and you have to invest in the capabilities that allow you to deliver on that promise that you've made to them.
Right. I'm curious, Rakesh, are people buying larger ticket items or smaller items?
Are people making larger or smaller purchases? To be honest, it's a bit unclear. Probably both, depending on the category. But that said, there is a bit of a trend towards more affordable indulgences, whether for health reasons or price reasons. You see it on the cosmetic side where people want to make a relatively less expensive purchase, makes them feel good. But it's a bit of an indulgence, right? It's not meant to break the bank. You see that for instance, on the chocolate side as well, where people want smaller pack sizes. They can feel they had a treat, but it doesn't make them feel guilty about eating unhealthily necessarily. What's more interesting is how the landscape is shifting in terms of where people make purchases, what they're buying, and who the consumer is evolving into. On the where side, definitely a lot more online, as we've talked about. People want to make purchases on the brick and mortar side from a diversity of physical stores, often local, often with efficient delivery or collection systems. What they're purchasing, some very clear data coming from our survey responses that people see themselves buying a lot more grocery, a lot of the staples, but also on entertainment, home entertainment, electronics, fashion, eating out. People expect to spend a lot more in some of these areas over the next 6 months. There are a few areas where they don't see themselves spending as much, alcohol being one example.
Yeah.
But also who, right? It does certainly feel that over the last couple of years, there has been a gradual evolution of the consumer.
Right. Very interesting stuff there. Now, Rakesh, the phrase sustainability was really beginning to enter, well, public consciousness last year, and it seems to be becoming a much larger topic this year as well. So is it just a new buzzword for the period, or is it something that, you know, we're going to continue talking about for the foreseeable future?
The sustainability topic, it's pretty real. Not a day passes by these days without having a serious, engaged conversation on what that means. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you it's top of mind for chief executives. But even there's been an evolution over the last 4 or 5 years, I would say. Where it started is more of a risk topic and responding in the right way to regulation and staying ahead of it, which is still important. Several chief executives moved to thinking of it more as a value creation or value preservation play. But today, increasingly, it's become an important vector for growth. And when we talk about sustainability in the CPG and retail world, it cuts across a lot of different things. So just in Malaysia, for example, 65% of our respondents say that it's important to them that a company helps you make better health and lifestyle choices. 61% think it's important that a company that they patronize supports their staff's well-being. 59% say it's important that they are committed to doing the right things. There's also the question of traceability, transparent origins of products. And what a lot of our respondents say is that they are more conscious about these factors today than a year ago or even 6 months ago. Almost 2 percentage points higher. Mm. But that being said, when consumers care about ESG factors, but when it stacks up against the basics of price and convenience, ESG fades a little bit in importance. Mm. So people want to do the right thing for society and for the environment, but products cannot be only either affordable and easy to get, or on the other hand, sustainable. They have to be both. And that's the challenge.
Right. Mm. Okay. Final question. Any predictions in the crystal ball that you think we might see in the next report?
With future survey results, I'm not so sure if we'll see dramatically different trends emerging. Perhaps the degree may move a little bit. But where we see greater attention being placed by businesses over the next 6 months to a year, for instance, if you're a CPG company, is on the question of brand relevance. And there's various facets to it. Shoppers are a lot less brand loyal today. There's a lot of old mainstays in portfolio that have less and less to distinguish them. Trust is at a premium, particularly when availability is more uncertain, safety is more important. So we think over the next few months to a year, we'll see a lot more attention being placed on demand sensing capabilities, monitoring purchase behaviors, occasions, channel footfall. We'll probably also see a lot more attention on commercial replans, particularly as some of the demand shifts that we've talked about trigger the need for different revenue management strategies. And on the supply chain side, we're expecting a greater look at SKU complexity, critical ingredient supply, and scenarios around them. And if you're a retailer, it's a question of how do I deliver more frictionless retail to consumers? Mm-hmm. Combining the brick and mortar experience with digital, rethinking sales and marketing, and redefining the purpose of your stores in a omni-channel world. I think what we're hearing also is a lot more focus on building reliable responsiveness capabilities, understanding much better who your target customers are, what journeys they're making, including some new journeys, and trying to instill loyalty in what's an increasingly more promiscuous consumer. Mm. And All of that has pretty serious implication on your assortment, your supply chain, optimal service levels. Because let's face it, consumers, even as the economy comes back to normal, they probably won't operate the same as they used to, despite a lot of the pent-up demand. So business as usual can actually look quite different.
Yeah, good point there, Rakesh. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. That was Rakesh Mani, Southeast Asia Consumer Markets Leader at Strategy and the Global Strategy Consulting Team at PwC.
Right. The promiscuous consumer. Okay. And you know, so like, yes, we all want to do good and do the right thing, but right? Price is still a factor.
Now, you know, the last we spoke about PwC's Consumer Insights Survey was last March, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, like listening to the results today, plenty has changed in like the space of six months, right? 6 months or more than 6 months. And to think that, you know, like the biggest change came from vaccination rates and how that's helped optimism. Also, us just adapting to hybrid work models and more flexible work culture and how that's increased consumer optimism, how that actually affects how you go out and spend your money or how you stay home and look at your smartphone and spend your money as well. So, you know, everything's changing very, very rapidly. But also, you know, like what Rakesh said towards the end, he doesn't expect that change to be so drastic over the next 6 months or even a year from now. So, you know, interesting times. Maybe things are slowly, ever so slowly starting to get back to normal, but we will never go back to pre-pandemic levels, right? You know, the way we work, the way we buy things, the way we live our lives has changed forever thanks to COVID.
Thanks to COVID, huh? Never thought I'd say thanks to COVID. I don't know. Right.
Well, if you're just joining us, we are, of course, talking about purchasing behavior, consumer behavior, purchasing insights as well. And we have been talking about PwC's December 2021 Global Consumer Insights Survey. If you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website.
Yep. And you can also download it as well on whatever the Google Play Store la.
That's the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and a Google Play. More Enterprise Biz Bites will be coming at you same time on Monday with Richard and Christine. But till then, have a wonderful weekend and thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.